tonight at 5 o'clock versus the Winnipeg Jets. You'll hear it here on Sportsnet 650. You'll also see it on TV, hosted by none other than Dan Murphy, who joins us now at Sportsnet Murph on Twitter. Murph, a good calm weekend, finally a three-day weekend, or 3 days off for the Canucks. How did you get to spend it?
Jeez, now you're asking me to think of what I did. I can't even remember what I did on the weekend.
I mean, would you rather talk about the power play?
No, I mean, it was good memories yesterday, seeing it was the golden goal, the anniversary. You know, that brought up some good memories, for everyone, remembering a fun hockey game. And I have memories of that night when for dinner with some friends, and we went to Il Giardino, and I think it was Brendan Morrow and Patrick Marleau were sitting there. And then when people realized we were there, the whole restaurant stood up and sang "Oh Canada," which was kind of cool. And then the next day, flying to Columbus is where the Canucks were. So there was a charter, and it was just kind of weird. It was like Rick Nash and some Canucks trainers and Luongo and Ken Hitchcock and Ryan Kessler, just so the people that had to stay for the gold medal game on this giant charter. And I kind of felt bad for Kessler at that point, because everybody had their gold medals and he had a silver,
right,
and he was by himself. So
that's rough. Okay. Getting into tonight.
No.
Hey, look, I'd love to talk about your golf game.
Yeah. You want to talk about J.J. Watt instead, Murph?
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Getting into tonight's game. Hey, don't worry. Like, I still got the Virtanen rumors to get to you, so we'll build up to that. Tonight's game, just, you know, we've been through three games here with Winnipeg. Is this a matchup the Canucks can fare well in? Because, you know, 4-1 the first time, then you get shut out against Brossoit. It feels like, based on this season, they can be competitive in these games, unlike what we've seen versus Winnipeg in the past.
Yeah, it was always kind of like the house of horrors for them. And that was actually home or away against Winnipeg. It was never a good matchup for Vancouver. And you'd say, like, it still probably shouldn't be offensively when you look at the, you know, the top six, maybe even the top nine of the Winnipeg Jets. A lot of talent, a lot of speed. But the Canucks have been, you know, I think some would say that was probably one of their top two or three games of the season, that the one they won in Winnipeg. They got shut out by Wahab Brassois, although we don't say that because he wants to anglicize his name. And then, you know, the last game was kind of like the way the season's gone. You know, you get the lead, you give up the lead, you score late to get a little bit of life, and then you lose early in the overtime. So they have been, you know, competitive games with the Jets, but I mean, there's got to be a time here now where this team gets a win. I mean, you're looking at the schedule and say, where is it coming, right? Like, when are they going to get a win? And it doesn't feel like any game is winnable at this point. They play poorly and lose, they play well and lose. And, you know, it's not going to be easy tonight. Hellebuck, his numbers historically are very good against Vancouver. And, you know, that team is starting to roll. I think they've won, 11 of 14. Dubois fit right in. So it's going to be a firm test, to say the least. The good thing is, as you mentioned, though, is that they're refreshed, at least probably more so mentally than physically. I think that break was probably more important, not even going to the rink on the Friday, and then most guys didn't even skate on the Saturday, and then having a practice yesterday. So you hope that they're refreshed and that March can have a much different feel than February did.
And Murph, that's something we were talking about earlier in the show as well, what the team's goals for March should be. You mentioned it, you know, playing better is great, but you got to start picking up some wins. I think most fans have conceded that it's probably too much of an ask for the team to get back into the playoff race, but how important is it for them to do what you said and pick up some wins here in March and April, just to rebuild the confidence and the morale of this team, you know, going forward into the offseason and into next year?
Well, I think it's critical. I mean, you don't ever want losing to become, you know, acceptable, right? Like, you know, all those years we saw in Edmonton where, you know, it's crushing on morale when the season seems done in November, right? And that's kind of like the death march the rest of the way. And you don't want to have that. You don't want that, especially when you have some really good young players that are going to be the building blocks of your organization. You don't want that seeping in. So I think it's critical that this team gets some results. You know, the process has been better, but without the results to follow, after a while, you wonder if the players just say, well, what's the use? So You don't want that seeping into their minds or their games. And, you know, we still got more than a half a season to go here. And, you know, for the season to feel lost for the fans already is telling. Now, I'm not saying that the players are quite that far out in the plank yet, but, you know, you don't have to be a genius to take a look at the standings and see how difficult it would be to try to get up to 63, 64 points in this season. The good news is, and we've talked about it, is that you're always playing those divisional teams, so you can make up ground in a hurry, but as we've seen with this team, you can lose ground in a hurry as well. And I just think that the hill is a little too steep at this point to even be thinking about playoffs.
Yeah, and to your point, Murph, you know, the two teams directly in front of them in the standings, Montreal and Calgary, they've been scuffling for their own sakes, you know, a little bit here in the last couple of weeks. As you say, the hill is probably too steep. Does it sting a little bit more knowing that the teams in front of you were playing poorly and kind of left the door open and the team wasn't able to take that opportunity?
Well, no question, right? I mean, you see these teams that that you need to catch, and they can't get wins, and it seems like the earth is crumbling around them as well, and so you have a perfect chance to kind of claw your way back up to at least be within shouting distance, and they weren't able to do it. Like, two wins the entire month. I mean, the Habs fired their coach. I mean, there was a ton of heat surrounding the Flames, and there still is. I mean, that one win over the Senators Saturday probably doesn't change much in terms of the heat that's on that team. So you had a chance to win some games and make up some ground on other teams whose, you know, probably confidence is shaken as well. So they have not been able to do it. You know, they continue to say all the right things, but you have to believe that their belief and their confidence is, you know, at an all-time low right now. It was expectations, I think, maybe a little unfairly after what happened in the bubble, that this team was going to you know, be a playoff team again, considering the losses they had in free agency. But certainly nobody thought it was going to be like this. And they're a better team than the results have showed so far.
Dan Murphy joining us, Sportsnet Canucks host on the Sportsnet Pacific. Looking over the weekend, some adjustments to the power play. Does that rate for you, or is it a case of, hey, the results come and then we'll worry about how it looks?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't super impressed with how the power. It looked decent early in that game Thursday, and then after that, it kind of looked disjointed. So I'm all for making changes, especially when you know, they had some success with that look last season. A couple of times they went to it for a different look. So I'm open to it. Whatever they can do to try to score a goal, hey. Let's try it. But I'm with Travis Green as well. I think that first unit needs to get off a little bit quicker. Let's have the second unit have a little bit more of a look, because they've only had, what, one this year? I think one. Pearson had one right when one was expiring, I believe. That's all they have in the second unit.
Yeah.
So I think you have to try to get the second unit going. But, yeah, make whatever changes you feel necessary. Because there has been times, or there was times in February with that first power play, I've always been kind of said, like, when there's urgency to it, when they're snapping the puck around, to me, it looks real dangerous. I just don't like the passive around the outside, looking to break it down slowly. It never looks like it's dangerous when they're playing it that way. So maybe this will create a little more urgency, and I always think that's what's the best look for this PP1.
As mentioned, over the weekend, the hysteria got fairly high in regards to a trade with Jake Virtanen's name going out. Now, it's something we had heard even back on Tuesday with Elliot detailing it, even with talking to Walker and Sag, the Anaheim angle. Is the complication here always just going to come down to money rather than trying to make a hockey trade, and it's always just going to be a difficult hurdle to overcome?
You know, probably considering the current financial climate, I think that's probably fair. I mean, I think we can look at ownership in this city and say that when things are normal, I mean, they've never been shy to spend, right? They've used buyouts, they've gone to the cap, you know, they've never been shy. It's just right now, I think everybody wants to be careful with money. Certainly Anaheim has the cap room, but they don't want to be on the hook for $3.4 million in actual dollars next season. And the Canucks are certainly not going to want to take any of that salary back and have more dead money on the books, which there is plenty right now. So, you know, maybe they'll go back and revisit it. Maybe one side blinks Jim wants to create some cap space for his team. And I think the other thing too, as we can say, is that, you know, probably Thursday was Jake Bertan's best game so far this season. I know he didn't score, but he had a look in the top six. He'll have another look there this evening. And to me, it looked like he was engaged. It looked to me like, he was looking to make a difference, and you really can't say that too much about his game this season. So that was certainly a step in the right direction, especially if it's a player you're looking to move, because it's going to be a lot more attractive if he's playing well at the time you deal him.
And Murph, one of the interesting things with Jake Virtanen's contract situation is because he's still under 26, the buyout is so reasonable for mm-hmm. next season. You know, given the complications of trying to find a team to take on his salary, do you think we could end up in a situation where the Canucks hold on to him and then explore a buyout in the summer?
I guess it's possible. But again, I mean, this is the money thing, right? I don't think ownership was interested in any buyouts this past summer. So you never know. Will they be open to it next summer? If there is indeed a change in the GM, the new GM certainly is probably going to want to use a couple buyouts if he can. So I think it's something you can look at, because it's what, only $50,000 against the cap next season, and $500,000 the season after that. So certainly it's not cost prohibitive as far as cap dollars go. But I think, you know, certainly they'd much rather make a trade and get another body back at this point that perhaps doesn't carry as much of real dollars or cap hit as Jake.
He is Dan Murphy. You can also find him on Twitter at Sportsnet Murph. Hey, are you aware of this social media campaign to get you to say stuff on the TV broadcast?
Well, yeah, I see it, but it's got to be organic. You can't just blurt it out there. So, I mean, if Pedersen does something tonight and we're talking about him in the panels, then there might be a way to do it. You just can't blurt it out like be exited in that one interview. It's got to happen organically. It's got to mean something. So I understand that there's a groundswell out there, but I will not be bullied into just saying it.
I only bring it up because we're being bullied now in our text inbox with hashtag say it Murph over and over again. So your performance is now affecting our job, Murph.
Yeah, well, I understand there's a charitable component to it, so certainly I'm aware of it, and I would like to make it happen, but it's going to have to be the right time, and I will not be pressured or bullied into this.
Good. We like pressuring and bullying you to come on the show, so we can't do multiple things here.
Exactly.
Enjoy the day, man.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Murph.